Welcome to this week's podcast from the teaching team at Beacon Church. For more information about our church, please visit beaconchurch.com.au. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, church, we do have the privilege this morning of having Pastor Locke Jones from The Gathering. It is also an INC church, same denomination as us, on the Tweed Coast, a lovely part of the world. It really is our privilege to hear from him this morning, so as we welcome him to the stage, why don't we make him feel welcome, Pastor Locke Jones.
So good. Awesome. Wow, you're a good-looking bunch. I was sitting there worshipping thinking, man, they sound amazing. I wonder if they look as amazing as they sound. And you do. You look amazing. So, hey, can we give it up for the worship team? I was just so blessed by that worship. Where's Rayleigh? Shut about having a cigarette. She's finished worship now. She's Rayleigh, I was just so blessed by your worship just there. I know our families knew each other way back when, and you know, I've never been here. Well, we were in Elevation Church. I married Ross and Kathy's daughter, so I'm in to this thing. Like, I can't get out. It's like the mafia. Once you're in, you can't get out of it, even if you want to. But we went on this same transition as you here were Elevation Redlands, and now you're Beacon Church. And I hadn't been up here in that whole Elevation journey, and here I am, kind of on the same journey as this church, where we've just transitioned and become The Gathering. And, you know, God just does interesting things in the alignment of those new seasons. And I just really felt, Rayleigh, that he wants to honor your faithfulness. And he wants to honor the faithfulness of your family. And as you're worshiping, yeah, you can honor them. As you were leading, I just felt like the seeds that have been sown throughout your life and your family's life into this community of people is really going to see a harvest of righteousness and a harvest of people truly coming to experience the power of God. And I really feel like the miracle-working power of God is on your life. And I'd love to pray for you after this service. I'm going to lay hands on a bunch of people, hopefully, in prayer. I'm going to lay hands on in prayer. And but, yeah, I really feel like you're coming into a season of the supernatural. And there is going to be an unlocking of miracles in your life. And it's going to start with a miracle that you're believing for. And I'm not sure what that is, but as you were leading worship, I could just feel the Father's heart for you. And he just wants you to know you are his girl, you are his daughter, and you're going to see a breakthrough, and you're going to see a miracle that's going to spread like wildfire. And in worship, I really felt for this church. I saw like a bow and arrow. And the bow was being stretched back and the arrow was about to be shot. And this bow and arrow was on fire, which represents the Holy Spirit. And I know we sing these songs about, you know, come rest on us. But if the Spirit of God really does come rest on you, it's not a little come rest on us, come rest on us. It's like, oh my gosh, he's here. And that's what I'm praying, and I have been praying over this church, is God, come and baptize us in your fire. Come and baptize us with such a boldness for the mission of God that we would not just go through religious motions, but we would be set apart and on fire for the gospel. That there is a world that needs to know Jesus. There is a world that is dying without Christ. And that this would not just be a religious thing we tick off on a Sunday morning, but this would be a place we get filled up with the power of God. And we walk out those doors completely changed into our world, and we change the world in the process. And so that's what I'm going to speak on today. I'm going to speak about the prophetic partnership that God wants to do in our lives for his kingdom and his mission in this world. But first, I do want to honor your pastors Az and Beck. And I have known these guys for a long time, many years, worked alongside them. And they are just some of the most real, honest, genuine people. And I really love them and love the fact that they've stepped into leading a church. And so they're away, obviously, on holidays right now and trying not to think about church. But as a pastor, you can't escape. Like I said, you're in. You're in. So make sure you bless them, pray for them, send them a text, send them money, whatever you got to do, do something.
So if you got your Bibles, I'm going to teach through Ezekiel 37 verses 1 through to 10 today. And I've been pastoring church for 10 years, but I really do have a real passion for evangelism. I have a passion for every single believer to step into this life of being a personal witness for Jesus Christ. Because a lot of times in church and in the modern day church, we get lost in this concept of evangelism. And we're like, oh, if I can just bring people to the church building and the pastor or the preacher up there can win them to Christ, then I've played my part. And yes, that is a part of it, but you are baptized in the Spirit of God to win people to Christ in your everyday life. And I believe you are a minister. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're a minister. It's not just the person with a microphone or on some church staff. It's every person in the body of Christ is a minister of the gospel. And so my passion is to speak as someone who is gifted with evangelism, is to speak into the church and see the church rise up in this gift and this call that God has got on our lives as Christians. And I'm just convinced you will not live the fullness of this walk with God unless you are living daily on mission as a witness for Jesus Christ. You just won't live in the fullness of it. Because this is a part of it, a massive part of this life with God is to walk in this. So one scripture before I get to my main text is this. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says this. About the church, the apostle Peter is speaking. He says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people for his own possession." Is anyone here thankful that we have a God who is that personal? That he wants a people for his own possession. He wants to spend eternity with his people. And he's pulled you out of darkness. He's pulled you out of sin. He's pulled you out of the miry clay. And he's set you free by the power of the cross and the power of the blood of Christ. And then you are now a new creation walking in the kingdom of love and light. Is there anyone thankful for that? Like, you are thankful you've been set free. 4 people here this morning. That's good. No, that's fine. I'm preaching to an unsaved crowd. If you are not alive with that, like, we don't just sing songs for the sake of it. Oh God, my God, I need you. Those words there are setting me free as I'm singing them. And I'm being reminded once again, oh, that's right. You have saved me and you have delivered me from a life of brokenness and anger and sin. And you've set me apart. And this is what Peter is saying to the church. He says, you're a chosen race. Don't forget it, church. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You're a people for his own possession. And here's why. So you can proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you can proclaim. Do you know that word there, proclaim, is the same word you'll find in the New Testament where it says to preach. So I want to say this. You, my friend, are a preacher. That might terrify you, but you are a preacher. You are proclaiming something. And what I know about your life and my life is that we are great proclaimers. Especially in the day of Instagram and Facebook and social media, we're all great proclaimers. I've just finished 2 weeks holiday, and on the second day of my holiday, I was pushing my son, 9 years old, into some little waves down at Fingal, and I stepped on a stingray, and it stabbed me in the foot. Instantly, the pain was just intense, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and I turn around, I catch this wave in, and my little son's paddling out, and I'm like, go in, I think I've been stung by a stingray, and he's like, yeah, whatever, Dad, like he thinks, because I always play jokes on him, and I'm like, turn around and go in, and so I get to the beach, and I'm like, sucking in this oxygen to try and stabilize myself, because I'm like, I know nothing about stingrays. The only thing I know is that our Australian icon, Steve Irwin, died of a stingray. And I'm like thinking, this is it. This is the end. I'm like, I love you, son. It's been a great 9 years. And I'm like 200 meter walk back to my car and I'm sucking it up. And I'm like, whew, I'm like, I think this might be the end. And so I get to my car and the first thing I do is not ring my wife. The first thing I do is grab my phone and I start taking photos of my stingray barb that is bleeding out. And my son's like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I got to capture this, mate. I'm like, I'm not going through all of this to not show the world that I've been stung by a stingray. He's like, this is ridiculous, Dad. Like, hurry up. We're going to get to the hospital. So I get to the hospital, and the first thing I do while they're putting pain block needles into my leg is I'm uploading it onto Instagram. Because I'm like, you all need to know that I have just been stung by a stingray. What am I doing? I'm proclaiming to the world. We are all great proclaimers. I don't know what you proclaim, but I know that you proclaim something. Your life is sending a message. And this story of the gospel of being saved and set apart and changed and made new is for a purpose that you may now send a message to the world. There is someone who can save you. There is someone who can set you free. There is someone who can heal you. There's someone who can break the chains. And I believe there is someone here this morning. And maybe you are on this journey of wondering who God is, where he is, if he's real. You need to know this, my friend. He loves you. He loves you. And I don't believe you're here on accident. I believe you're here on purpose because God, in his sovereignty, has positioned you here today to hear that he's real. And so you are called to proclaim the gospel, the marvelous creator of the world who has saved you. And that's what we see. That God is saying all throughout the story of the Bible, he's asking his people to partner with him in speaking and proclaiming to the world. So we're going to look at this in Ezekiel 37. And this is a story of how God wants to partner with us, his people. A little bit of context. Ezekiel is a prophet in the Old Testament. If you're new to church, there's the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament kind of focuses on the chosen people of God, original chosen people, I should say, which were the Jewish people, the Israelites, and the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit wasn't poured out on all people back then. And so how the people of God heard from God was through a prophet who God spoke to the prophet and the prophet spoke to the people. And so Ezekiel is a prophet speaking to the nation of Israel. They lived wild lives. They had to experience wild things. And this is God speaking to Ezekiel to show him what's happening in the nation of Israel because it's in a bit of a desperate state. Says this, Ezekiel 37 verse 1 says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry." What you need to know right now is if bones are very dry, it means they've been there for a long time. And so for God to show Ezekiel a valley of very dry bones, he's ultimately saying, hey, Ezekiel, look at how desperate and hopeless this situation is. And then verse 3, "He, being God, said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.'" Such a political answer. Should have been a politician. Verse 4, "Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Verse 7, if you've got a Bible or you're taking notes, underline it, highlight it, tattoo it on your neighbor, whatever you've got to do. "So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the winds, four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." A wild story, a wild vision that Ezekiel is a part of here, where God is saying, hey, will you partner with me, Ezekiel? And I believe God in 2023 is asking the same thing of this church and the church of this nation, Australia. He's saying, my sons and my daughters, do you believe this nation can come alive in Christ? Do you believe this state of Queensland can come alive in Jesus' name? Do you believe that the Redlands could come alive? Do you believe that your family could come alive? Do you believe that your spouse or your children or your parents or your barista or whoever it is, do you believe they could come alive in Jesus' mighty name? This is the question that God is asking in your life right now. And so we can either respond like Ezekiel, oh Lord, you know, like you're the creator of all things. Or we can step into the partnership and we can start to partner with him and see people come alive in Jesus' name. God wants to partner with you in his mission in the world. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you get blown away by that, but it blows me away that the creator of the universe wants to partner with me. Just blows me away that he wants to use your life, because if I was God, I wouldn't use you, to be honest. I just wouldn't. You'd mess it up. You'd mess it up on me. It's like my little foster girl, whenever I'm doing things around the yard or cleaning up, she comes home and she's like, can I help you, Dad? And I'm like, I'd rather you don't, because it just is more difficult. 4 years old, I clean it up, she messes it up again. I'm like, it just takes longer. But who here is thankful that I'm not God? Because he is the God who wants to use your life and my life in his mission. And if you look all throughout the story of Scripture and all throughout history, is that God wants to partner with his people in his mission in the world. Look in the very beginning, Adam and Eve, the first people that he created, and he said, hey, I want you to partner with me and I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. I want you to have dominion, fill the earth. He's like, I want you to partner with me in expanding my kingdom on the earth. And then you go all throughout Scripture, you come to another Old Testament prophet by the name of Isaiah. If you read this in Isaiah chapter 6, that Isaiah has a throne room encounter. He literally goes to heaven and he sees the Lord high and lifted up, seated on the throne. And the train of his robe fills the temple and the smoke's there as God's speaking. It's like everything's shaking. And Isaiah's like, oh my gosh, this is wild. And there's angels who are flying around the throne singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And he has this revelation that this is the one that is called me. I'm praying that there would be a revelation over every son and daughter of God in this room right now, that he's not just little Jesus with nice flowing blonde locks holding a little lamb, that he is the God who speaks and stars are formed. He is the God who speaks and all things are held together by the word of his power. I'm praying for a revelation over this church, that it's that God who is calling you and saying, come and partner with me. And so Isaiah has this throne room encounter, and then he hears God speaking into the heavenly realm to the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Spirit. And he says this, who will go for us? Who will we send? And because Isaiah has had this encounter and this revelation, Isaiah responds back and he's like, here I am, send me. And God says to Isaiah, okay, go. Go and tell these people. He wants to partner with us. You look, when Jesus starts his earthly ministry, the Son of God, at age 30, starts his earthly ministry, what's the first thing Jesus does? He goes and starts his little team, his motley crew of disciples, finds a bunch of fishermen who are failed disciples ultimately, and he brings them in on this journey and says, hey, come and follow me and I'll teach you how to be fishers of men. God wants to partner with his people. We see that the whole way through Scripture. And the reason he wants to partner with us is for this. This is the goal. It's to tell people about Jesus. That is the goal of a life partnering with God, is to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Before he ascended into heaven, he says to his disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. When you are filled with the power of God, you're not filled just so you can have goosebumps. You're not filled just so you can just live a better life, or you can just be transformed into the image of Christ, although that is a major part of being filled with the Spirit. The reason you are filled with the power of God is to be a fiery witness to a world who needs to know about Jesus. Telling people about me, Jesus says. Not telling people about Beacon Church, although I encourage you to do that because it's a great church. Tell them, come along, meet this community. It's amazing. But don't do that in place of telling them about Jesus. Make sure you tell them. There is a pastor in America by the name of Michael Koulianos. He pastors a church called Jesus Image Church. He says this. He says, the message of the missionary is not go, it's Jesus. The message of the great evangelist is not evangelize, it's Jesus. The triumphant message of revival is not revival, it's Jesus. The message of the prophet is not prophesy, it's Jesus. The message of the pastor is not how to build a big church, it's Jesus. He's the message. He's the one we're proclaiming. We're saying, look at this one. The Son of God who came in human form and died for our sin. Rose again on the third day, defeated sin, death, and the grave. He can set you free. Look at him. He's amazing. He's the one that we are a witness to. He's the one that we are prophesying about. This prophetic partnership that God calls us into. This is ultimately what prophecy means. Prophecy means revealing the mind of God or the mind of Christ over people. That's what it means to prophesy. So when it comes to the mission of God, what is the heart of God or the mind of God for people? Well, it's wrapped up in one verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. The mind of Christ in the mission of God is that people will not perish but will be with him for eternity. Or another verse is 1 Timothy 2:4 that says, God who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Friends, God wants to partner with us to reveal and to prophesy his heart to the world that there's a God who loves you and there's a God who wants to spend eternity with you. I was just getting a coffee this morning with Caleb, who's an awesome leader from my church. And as I was getting the coffee, there was this girl there. I just said, hey, I just went across quickly and just said, hey, before I leave, I just need to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ loves you so much? It was so awkward. Honestly, she just stared at me and was like. I said, no, honestly, I just need you to know he loves you. So awkward. Didn't get any less awkward. It's pretty much like walked away, like just being like, but it's actually not about how you feel as a Christian when you proclaim. It's about being obedient. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I was filled with the Spirit to be a witness. Are you being a witness in your everyday life as a Christian? Because if you're not, and if you're kind of like, I mean, Rhonda or whatever your name was who did the alpha, I'm signing up. I'm like, I'm coming. I'm coming. That was the best alpha. I was just like, you should have done an altar call. I was about to say, keep preaching. Like, that was incredible. Like, when God touches your life, Rhonda said something there where it was like, hey, if you're just a bit stale, if you're just a bit dry, you can come and do this course. And I encourage you to do it. But I also encourage you to walk out these doors and to tell someone about Jesus. You watch, when you get your coffee and you just say, do you know Jesus loves you so much? I'm going to share a couple of stories of how God has used my life in unique ways. And I'm just an everyday guy. I'm just an Aussie bloke having a crack, to be honest. I'm not anything special, but I've been filled by the power of God. And when you start to live this life, you start to, man, it's just, if you're sitting here going, oh, my Christian life's boring, you're not following Jesus. I know that sounds harsh, but the Christian life is not boring if you are actually being obedient to what the Lord has commanded you to do. It's so wild. Like the stuff that happens is so wild and mind-blowing. And I'm just like, God, baptize us with a fresh power that we may be a church that is really living out the word of God, really being obedient, really telling people, really seeing people come from death to life right before our very eyes. Because when you step into this life, it's thrilling. Thrilling. Scary and thrilling all in the same time. So I'm here to prophesy boldness over this church. I just know right now as I'm speaking this message, there is a voice speaking to your head that's like, this is not for you. This message is not for you. This guy is one of those little out there evangelists. This guy's an extrovert. You're an introvert? You're an introvert? You just stay there. You're looking for the scripture right now where God said, all introverts go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Can I say this? God's not interested in personality types. He has more faith in the power of his spirit than he does in our personality types. That you can step into this life of surrender to Jesus Christ, filled with the power of his spirit, and you can go into your world and you can proclaim the gospel. And so I want to say this, I silence every voice of the enemy right now that would try and speak fear and intimidation over your life. I take authority over that spirit realm right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and I prophesy boldness over this church. That the picture that I saw, that bow and arrow that's on fire, that's being pulled back, wouldn't just stay pulled back, but the arrow would shoot. And it would go into the hearts of men and women. It would open up their rock hard heart and see it become alive in Jesus Christ. Because this is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is that encouraging or what? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. My wife and I have been in a foster care journey for 3 years now. We've got a beautiful little girl. And when we first took her on, my wife is very prophetic and she felt like God said that we're going to have an opportunity to lead her family to the Lord one day. And I was like, I think you're off. I think you've missed it because the agency told us you will not have anything to do with this family because they're dangerous and they're broken. The parents had split up. And anyway, a year into the journey, we get a phone call from the foster agency and they say, hey, your little girl's biological father has stage 4 cancer and we don't know how long he's got to live. Would you come and visit this house where he's living? We're like, of course. Go in there. He's got oxygen in. Hear a bit of his life. He's had a really hard life. He finds out what we do. He's like, wow, I can't believe my little girl's with you. That's amazing. Like, just amazing. So we have that first meeting. We leave there. A couple of months later, they ring and say, hey, we think he's only got weeks to live. Would you come back again? So the night before going back there, my wife and I are talking about it, and the Spirit of God came on me. And all of a sudden, I looked at my wife and I said, I've got to share the gospel with this man tomorrow. She's like, what? How are you going to do it? I said, I have no idea, but I know I have to tell him about Jesus. So I walk into this visit. There's a worker there, and he says to me, can I give you something to give to my little girl when she becomes of age, if I pass away? And I'm like, of course. And I said, can I have a conversation with you before we leave? He's like, yeah. So I'm like, sweet. This hour-long visit went like that. The worker's like, you've got 6 minutes left. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got to lead this man to Jesus in 6 minutes. So we go down to his room. He's swollen. And we walk into this room, and it was the heaviest atmosphere I've ever been in my life. Demonic pictures on the wall. There was guns lined up. There was this heavy, just gory movie playing. There was death metal music. I was like, man, I feel like I've walked into hell. This is so heavy. We sit on this couch and he sits next to me, hands me a chain and says, can you give that to my little girl? And I looked him in the eye and I said, sir, do you know where you're going if you pass away from this life? He said, what? I said, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? He said, no. He said, when I was little, my dad always said, do you remember what life was like before you were born? Well, that's what life's going to be like when you die. You're just going to die and that's it. I said, sir, I believe the Bible teaches something very different. It says that eternity has been placed in the hearts of man. That you are going to spend eternity somewhere. It's either going to be in the presence of God or it's going to be in hell separated from him for all of eternity. But you need to hear this, my friend. He loves you so much. Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross for your sin. You've missed the mark. I've missed the mark. The Bible says that all have fallen short of his glory. But he came that you may be saved and spend eternity with him. These tears welled up in his eyes and he said, you don't know what I've done in this life. I've been a bad person. I leant even closer and I said, friend, it's not about what you've done. It's about what he's done. More tears filled his eyes, started to stream down his face. He said, I want this Jesus. So right there in his room, surrounded by all this demonic stuff, I got to lead my little foster girl's biological father to the Lord. Praying for him. He's just crying as he's releasing all of this stuff. 2 weeks later, he passed away. And right now, I believe he is in the great cloud of witnesses in heaven who is saying, and I believe he's yelling. I believe he's saying, Locke, tell them that there is a God who saves even the most broken, even the worst. There is a God who loves the unlovable. His name is Jesus. Friend, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is good news. Paul goes on and says, how then will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How are they to hear of someone they've never heard of? Friends, there are people right now in the world who have not heard about Jesus. The amount of people I come across and I say, do you know Jesus loves you? And they're like, no. And I'm like, have you heard about Jesus? Do you know who he is? They're like, no. The church has a mission at hand. And it's not just to have nice, amazing church services. It's to reach the world with the gospel. And we need to rise up in the power of the Spirit. We need to be serious about the mission that God has called us to. And the church needs to stop focusing on all the wrong things. We get caught up as Christians in focusing and talking about wrong things. Oh, that church down there is just rigid. They're all about teaching. Oh, that church over there is just weird. They're dancing with no shoes on. And while all that's happening and we're talking about this trivial stuff, there is someone somewhere right now outside of these doors who is speaking to someone about Jesus and seeing them come from death to life in his mighty, powerful name. God comes to Ezekiel and says, will you speak to a valley of dry bones? That's ridiculous. But Ezekiel prophesies as he was commanded. He wants to use your life. And what I've learned about God is that he doesn't use the most gifted or talented. He uses the most available. Are you available for the Spirit of God to flow through you to a world that's dying without him? Are you available? Or is this just a motion? Is this just a ritual? Are we just going through the motions until we get to heaven? God wants to partner with you in this mission to reach the world with the gospel. So I've got a couple of points just before I finish of how do we live out this prophetic partnership. If you're taking notes, the first one is this. You've got to understand that the Holy Spirit is the master evangelist and he is actually just setting you up. This took a lot of pressure and load off my life when I realized that God was the actual one who was drawing all men unto himself. It's not me in the power of my strength or with my cool stories or with my whatever. It's actually me just realizing the Holy Spirit is at work here. He's drawing people. And when I step in and I start to witness, the more I do it, the more I'm like, oh, that was a setup. He actually had set me up there. That was a total setup. A few years ago, I was in America and I was traveling around just checking out some different churches. And while I was there, I realized something about Americans is that they cannot say the name Lachlan. So every time I'd introduce myself, there'd be this awkward stumbling moment with these people as they would be like, what? Yep. And they'd try and say it. And I was like, oh gosh. And then every time I went to Starbucks, they would write this crazy name on my cup. I think there's one here. I don't even know what that says. Locker, Luca. I still look at it going. And this just would happen time and time again. And so because I did a whole number of different states and flights, I was exhausted. And I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was flying to Seattle. And so I'm lining up at the airport and I needed to get a coffee. And I just said, cappuccino, thanks. And he said, what name, sir? And I just went blank, honestly. I just stared at him because in my head, I'm having an argument going, well, what's the point? Now I'm going to tell you my name and you're going to get it wrong anyway. So why even tell you? And he's like, what name, sir? And I'm just still not responding. I'm just talking in my head. He finally leans across. He's like, what name, sir? And I'm like, Todd. He's like, all right, Todd. And he writes it down on the cup and I walk over. You can see it here on the cup. And as I'm waiting over on the side for my coffee, a few minutes later, I hear this, cappuccino for Todd. Cappuccino for Todd. And I'm not responding because my name's not Todd. And finally, he looks across at me. He's like, cappuccino for Todd. I'm like, that's me. I'm Todd. I walk away, I take this photo, I send a photo to my wife. I'm like, I am so tired. She's like, please have a sleep on the plane. So when I'm on a plane, you know, that's the ultimate place to share to the person next to you about Jesus. Because where are they going to go? You know, break the window and jump out? What are they going to do? And so because I was so tired, I fell asleep. It was a 5-hour flight, but I had a dream that I missed an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. And I woke up in a panic, and the man sitting next to me, I engaged in conversation, and I eventually steered that conversation towards faith. And this is a tip for all of us as Christians, a simple tip in evangelism is this question, do you have a faith? Just ask that. You'll be amazed at the responses or the open doors that creates. Do you have a faith? And so I finally said, do you have a faith? He's like, oh, no. He's like, I don't believe that there's some God out there. He's like, I'm an atheist and all this stuff. He goes, but I do go to the little Presbyterian church down the road because the old ladies make me scones. And I'm like, fair enough, fair enough. I would probably go there as well. And he said, do you have a faith? And I was like, oh, wow. You are about to hear the gospel. And you are about to hear my testimony. You're going to fall on your knees and you're going to cry out for the Lord to save you. So I said, look, I grew up in a Christian school. I grew up going to church on Sundays. I said, but it wasn't real for me. So I hit my teenage years and I started to try drugs and parties and girls and all sorts of stuff. But I was always empty. And then some friends invited me to a conference in Sydney when I was 19. I was like, I don't want to go to a conference. But I went, and there I encountered Jesus Christ. He changed me. It was like his love filled me and everything. And I'm sharing this passionately. And he's looking back at me like, bored. He's bored listening to my story. And I'm like, what? Like, this is the part where you fall down and cry out for the Lord to save you. He's like, I am so sorry. We've been talking for an hour and a half, and I haven't even heard your name. I'm like, oh, here we go. This is just about to get really awkward. I said, look, my name somehow is really confusing in America, so why don't you tell me your name first, and then I'll tell you my name. He's like, what? So weird. I said, just trust me. Just do it. You tell me your name. Tell me my name. He's like, whatever. My name's Todd. I'm looking at all your faces right now, and you're shocked. Can you imagine actually being me? Can you imagine actually, I use the name Todd, and I'm like, you. I said, you shut up. Your name is not Todd. And he's like, my name is Todd. I'm like, it's not Todd. It's not Todd. I said, you prove it right now. You get your driver's license out. You prove to me that your name is Todd. And he's like, there's a serial killer on the plane. Pulls his license out and he shows me. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm like, this is incredible. I'm like, my name's Lachlan. He's like, what? I'm like, don't worry about it. I said, everyone gets my name confused in America. So at that last Starbucks at the airport, I used the name Todd when I ordered a coffee. He's like, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. And I pulled up that photo, if you can put it back up there. I got that out on my phone and I showed him. And I said, see, I used the name Todd. And he's like, and he just looked at me. And everything stopped. And he's like, he sent you for me, didn't he? Now, I just leant into that moment. And I leaned across and I said, yes, he did, Todd. I said, I've traveled from Australia all the way to America to find you. But honestly, his heart in that moment was open. All because a Christian realized, oh God, you've actually set this up. I'm not cool enough to think of a story in the background to be like, who's going to be sitting on the plane next to me, Lord? Todd. I will write Todd on a cup. No, this is what the prophetic partnership of God looks like. Why? Because he's the master evangelist. He's the one who knows from beginning to end, and he's the one who's coordinating everything. All he needs from you is availability. All he needs from you is a life that says, I'm going to share. I'm going to tell someone about Jesus. The mission of God becomes possible when you realize it's not on your shoulders. It's his. It's his mission. He is the master evangelist. And he's setting you up. Time and time again, you will realize, like, I eat a lot of Uber Eats. I'm guilty as charged, but I order a lot to work. I should take more lunches, but I don't. And so I order a lot of Uber Eats, and I've just learned. Now I'm paying for an evangelism opportunity. that person is literally driving my food to me that I'm paying for. And so I'm like, I'm not just getting this. This person's not driving away without hearing the gospel. And so every person who gives me my food before they leave, I say, hey, just before you leave, can I ask you a question? Do you have a faith? And man, I've had some amazing conversations. Probably majority of people slowly wind their window up and they drive off quite quick. And I must have told over 100 people, that's a lot of Uber Eats, but I've told over 100 people that Jesus loves them, he died for them, he wants an eternal life with them. And just late last year, this man dropped he's like Iranian or Middle Eastern, and he dropped my food off to me and I said, hey, just before you leave, I just need to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus loves you so much? And he's like, yes, I do now. I was like, what? He goes, I didn't remember. He goes, since the last time you told me, he goes, I went home and I researched. And he goes, in all the research I did, I found out that it was impossible for Jesus Christ not to be God. And now I believe that Jesus is God. He is Lord of my life. And I'm literally standing, staring into his window, and I'm like, what? Like, zero faith. Zero faith. I'm like, are you serious? He's like, I believe. I believe Jesus is God. I believe Jesus is God. And he was getting overwhelmed with this joy. I believe Jesus is God. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I slapped his windowsill. I'm like, wow. This is amazing. He's like, I believe Jesus is God. I believe. And he just kept going. He's like, I believe now. I believe Jesus is God. Friends, when you partner with God, you will see these things happen where you're just like, I'm just not good enough to do that in my own strength. But when you filled with the power of the Spirit, proclaim the mighty name of Jesus to the world, you will see those who are spiritually dead to the things of God, you'll see them come alive in Jesus Christ. It's amazing how God wants to partner with his people. I want to ask that question, are you available for him? Are you available? Are you going to get nervous? Yes. Are you going to feel, slightly odd? Yes. You're telling people to believe in someone that they can't really see. Of course, it's tricky. But when you proclaim the gospel, like Paul says in Romans 1, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. It's not about your cool story. It's not about how well you do things. It's about you proclaiming Jesus Christ to the world, and the Holy Spirit moves in power on that. The band can come. I'm going to finish up in just a moment. Sorry, I've gone a little bit over time. How do we partner with God in this prophetic partnership? You've got to understand he's the master evangelist and he's setting you up. The second one is this. You've got to believe that God wants to do the impossible through your life. He wants to do the impossible through your life. It's impossible for any of us to bring one soul from spiritual death to life. It's impossible. You cannot do it in your own strength. It literally needs to be a work of God. But God wants to do that impossible act through you, proclaiming to the world of this excellent Savior, this God who has changed you. So I want to ask you the question, what would the impossible look like for you? What would the impossible look like for you? I'll say it another way. Who would the impossible look like for you? Right now, just picture someone, just say, God, reveal to me someone who I've always thought, if that person came to know you, Lord, that would blow my mind. Who would that be? Because this is what God wants to do through our lives. Because no one is too far lost that they cannot be found. I grew up in Brisbane, and when my parents divorced when I was 10 years old, my dad moved to Kira on the Gold Coast, and that's where I started to learn to surf. And all through my teenage years, I was loving surfing, and I was loving pro surfers. I'd always follow the pro surfing tour, and Coolangatta has the most pro surfers ever. So I was always surrounded by them. And as a Christian at 19, I had this vision of seeing pro surfers come to know Jesus. And I always thought to myself as a Christian, how would I ever see any of these pro surfers? I don't know any of them. It's just little old me. And in 2020, when COVID happened, church buildings were closed. One of the filmers of those pro surfers was in my church. And he texts me and he says, hey, Locke, when a church service is opening back up, because I feel like Dingo, which is Dean Morrison, would really benefit from coming to a church service. He's going through a really difficult time right now, and I think church would help him. And I text straight back and I said, mate, don't wait for a church service. I said, if he's in a bad way, let's catch up with him. And he's like, oh, I feel a bit awkward. I said, well, send me his number. I'll catch up with him. So he sends me Dean Morrison's number. Now, the three famous people, surfers from Coolangatta in that era, was Mick Fanning, Joel Parkinson, and Dean Morrison. And so next thing, I text Dean Morrison one morning. His nickname's Dingo. I text him one morning and I just said, hey, Dingo, this is my name. You know, I found out from Simon that you're going through a difficult time. If you ever want to catch up, you just let me know. He texts me back in like 1 minute and he said, I'll meet you anywhere in 5 minutes. Now, I was at a cafe just in my local area. I said, this is the cafe I'm at. If you want to meet me here, feel free. He says, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, I get off that phone. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm about to have coffee with Dingo. And so I'm sitting there trying to get real relaxed and cool. I'm like, I'm about to have coffee with Dingo. Like, I'm thinking, what do I do here? Do I be friends with him? Do I just be friends? And if I have to go on surf trips and travel the world with him, so be it, Lord. I will carry that cross for you. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, I did not set this up for you just to be friends. I set this up so you would tell him about me. And this cloak of boldness came over me. And as he sat down, I looked him in the eye and I said, Dingo, tell me your story. And he was broken. Literally about to take his life. He was that empty. And he's looking at me with this empty look in his eyes. It's like I could see into how empty his soul was. And I heard his story and I just said, Dingo, you need to know this. No amount of success, no amount of money, no amount of relationships could ever fill what God has purposed for your life. And that's to know him. I said, nothing else will fill you like he. He loves you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He wants to spend eternity with you. He wants to fill you with the power of his spirit. Had my number. I said, if you need me anytime, you just let me know. A week later, I get a phone call at 7:30 p.m. on a Saturday night, and it's Dingo calling, and I answer, and he's in a bad way. And again, for an hour, we're talking it through, and I share the gospel again. Jesus loves you, Dingo. And at the end, with this quivery voice and this tears I could hear that were in his eyes, he said, I need this Jesus. And in that moment, I was able to lead Dean Morrison to the Lord over the phone. And a couple of months later, I was able to baptize Dean Morrison on the beach out in the front of my house. And this photo is a reminder to me that no one is too far lost that they cannot be found. This isn't a story about famous people. This is a story about a precious child of God that was going to hell for eternity because they had trusted everything else except Jesus. But now they have been found as one of the chosen people, the chosen race. And now Dean Morrison is going to spend eternity in the presence of God forever. Friend, I want to let you know, no one is too far lost. God wants to do the impossible through your life. And maybe you hear that story and you sit there and think, oh, but I've tried. I've tried to love. I've tried to serve. I've tried to share. I feel like I've been sent to say this. Do not give up. Keep scattering the seed of the gospel. Keep sowing the word of God. Keep loving that person. Keep serving them by proclaiming Jesus. Keep speaking. Keep proclaiming. Keep prophesying, church. Because it says here, that so I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath came into them, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. This is what's going to happen when the church gets serious about the gospel. This is what's going to happen when the church gets serious about partnering with God and his mission to the world. He wants to use your life. So would you stand with me today? I'd love to pray over us. I'm going to pray for two people. The first group of people I'm going to pray for is the person who would know Jesus here, and you would say, I want to be filled with a fresh baptism of the power of God. If that's you right now, just close your eyes and lift your hands towards heaven. If that's you and you're saying, I'm a follower of Jesus and I want to be serious about this life of living on mission for Jesus Christ and his mission in the world, just raise your hand right now. Come on. We're in church right now. If we can't raise our hands in this room, we probably aren't going to proclaim the gospel out there. Right now, just say, God, that is me. I want to know you with a real power. Holy Spirit, I'm asking right now for those hands that are raised. that every person here, Lord, would experience a fresh baptism of your fire. Come on, cry out to him right now. Say, God, fill me with your spirit. Come on, right now, fill me with your spirit, God. Fill me with your power. Baptize me like those disciples when they were touched by the power of your spirit and they went and proclaimed the gospel. God, I'm asking right now for the fire of your spirit to sweep across every heart, every mind, everybody right now, Lord. Set them on fire. Set them on fire with the gospel. Lord, would the word be on fire in their mouth, Lord. Right now, I break off the spirit of fear. I break off the spirit of intimidation. Right now, Lord, I pray for a fresh, fresh baptism of power, Lord. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them up, fill them up, fill them up, fill them up. Come on, he's filling people right now. He's placing people on your mind right now. Right now, right now, right now. No one is too far lost that they cannot be found. Come on, let's start singing, worship team. We're just gonna, every person, come on. Come on, I'm believing the fire of God. Come on, every voice. Come on, let's build that up. Like we believe it.
Rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness, oh God. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need
all we
you.
Need you, Lord.
Now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages. I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness. Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock of ages.
Finish, I want to give an opportunity for a second group of people. Anyone here who would not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You've heard me share the gospel throughout this message that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. My friend, you are in error. You are in wrong before a perfect, holy God. And what you've earned for your sin is death. It's eternal separation from Him. But God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. All you need to do to be saved is to believe that Jesus came and died for your sin so that you could be forgiven and made right with God. This is the good news, the best news you're ever going to hear. So if that's you here right now this morning, my friends, and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this moment is for you. Friends, it's the most serious decision you can ever make. Do not mess around with this decision. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, and God wants it to start right now with Him in His presence. So if that's you and you have never said yes to a life of surrender to Jesus, to be filled with His love and His joy and His power, right now I just want you to raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with. All across this room right now, if that's you, and you've never said yes to a life of surrender to Jesus, just lift your hand so I know who I'm praying with this morning. All across this room right now, is there anyone here and you have never said yes? You've never. Do not stay in your sin. It's that serious. Do not stay there, but believe in Christ. Is there anyone right now? I believe there's a wrestle in this room. There's a wrestle for people right now. Is there anyone and you're going to respond to Jesus? You're going to say, yes, Lord, be my Savior. Oh Lord, I pray for every person in this church right now, and I just ask, Lord, that you would draw all men unto yourself. Lord, I pray this church would never be the same, Lord. They would live on mission for the gospel. We celebrate your goodness in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Good to see everyone here.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We pray the message has inspired you. To connect with us further, visit beaconchurch.com.au.